It's time to take off on the Award Travel 101 podcast. Helping you maximize your travel rewards, no matter your destination or budget. Now here are your hosts, Award Travel 101 Community Managers, Angie Sparks and Joseph Petrovic, to help you do extraordinary things on ordinary money.
When it comes to award travel, earning points is easier than redeeming them for the best value. Rather than spending hours per trip searching on your own, let Thrifty Traveler Premium's army of flight analysts do the work for you with their customized premium alerts. Since we're seeing award space to more locations than we've seen in years, you will know that you have a partner you can trust watching out for you and that you're getting a great deal every single day from Thrifty Traveler's premium alert service.
Whether using miles or points, or you're just looking for a cheap cash flight, Thrifty Traveler Premium will send customized alerts just for you. Just recently, with the help of Thrifty Traveler's premium alerts, I was able to book the brand new Japan Airlines A350-1000 in business class to Tokyo for just 60,000 American Advantage miles and $5.60. I booked previous alerts like Emirates Business Class from Milan on the A380 for 73,000 points, Iberia Business Class to Venice for 34,000 points, and Business Class on ITA's, or you might recognize it as ITA, brand new A330-900neo for 54,000 points from Rome to New York City. So if you want more premium deal award alerts sent straight to your inbox, head on over to thriftytraveler.com and use promo code AT10 for $10 off your first year and tell us where you're hoping Thrifty Traveler Premium will take you. And we're back for episode 59 of the Award Travel 101 podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Petrovic, and I'm here with Angie Sparks.
Hey, Joe, how are you today?
Splendid. Cold outside, snowy, typical Ohio weather, 70 degrees one day and snow in the next.
It is pollen season here, so my pool is green, my cars are green, and my eyeballs need to be clawed out of my head anytime I spend any time amount of time outside. My poor dog, even she just bites her feet nonstop, and I give her, you know, two allergy pills every morning, which she loves because she gets peanut butter with it. But I will be happy. I think we had a storm last night, and I'm hoping that it came through and knocked out the bulk of the pollen. But I'm looking around the trees, going, that one still has it. So.
Yeah, that's around here, probably another month and a half-ish away or so. We have to go through that. And somehow, somewhere in my 20s, I switched from a fall allergy to a spring allergy. So that middle of May becomes miserable for me.
Oh, I can relate. I can relate.
So let's jump over into our post of the week from Lee VC. Amex is going crazy.
Amex has the most insane sign-up bonuses right now that are out there. They are not our links, that's for sure. And I can't get one to be, I can't like create one as a referral link. I think the highest that I was able to get as a referral link was 170,000. 170,000 points. But there are some out there for 250,000 membership rewards. So for the people that sit there and say, oh, I don't know, that's a really high annual fee. I don't care. I will gladly pay $700, which, of course, if you use the credits, you're breaking even on it, to earn 250,000 membership rewards. Sadly, as we know, I already have a business platinum card or two or three. I no longer have four. So I'm not eligible because these are not no lifetime language offers. They are definitely designed for the people who've not had the card before. Have you been able to find it or use it?
So I was able to pull it up as a 250,000 point offer, and I know that it did have lifetime language in it. I did read through, but the lifetime language in it does say it might not work if you've had this card or now or have had it before. So it didn't say it will definitely not work. So I tried it anyways, and of course it said, hey, you already have the card or have had the card before, so... No luck for me on that, but I should have done it for my wife. I'm still thinking about it. And of course, I'm also thinking about that Capital One Venture X business card, which I have one more day as of recording. to figure that out. I guess I have today to figure that out because it goes away.
Yeah, you really do.
Tomorrow.
Because you don't want to wait to the last possible second because we know these banks tend to they'll pull offers a little on the early side.
But with that, you know, $250,000 is out there. You can certainly look and try to find it yourself. Some people have reported finding it in incognito links and things like that. I had no problem pulling it up either way. It was popping up at the point in time in which this was first announced. I haven't rechecked recently. So definitely look out there. You may not be eligible, but it's always worth the shot.
Yep.
So with that, let's hop over to the news. New rewards coming from Wells Fargo. What are your thoughts on this?
It's kind of interesting. So Wells Fargo is kind of jumping into the transferable currencies. I can't remember which card this is on, but they've got a few partners. Nobody really knew that, you know, everybody keeps hoping that somebody's going to be like, we're going to transfer to AA and everybody will jump all over that card other than Bilt. But, you know, some of the usual suspects, Flying Blue, Life Miles, Choice. But it, you know, again, it gives you another option. It's another bank to you can apply for if you've kind of gotten really full with your Chase portfolio and Amex is kind of like, whoa, you've got a lot of cards or you're in pop-up jail, whatever. And Capital One does its usual, who knows if they'll approve you or not. So that I think that's where it's appealing is the fact that, you know, we don't know any details on the sign-up bonus or anything like that. But I think it's something to really keep an eye out when it comes out to see if it fits your portfolio. It'll be down the road a little bit, I would think, for most people, because it's not going to be the easy points to use like Ultimate Rewards or the more like lucrative sign-up bonuses like what you're getting with Amex these days. What do you think of it? Are you going to go for it?
I don't know that I'm going for this card just yet, but it is interesting. And we do know that it's called the Autograph Journey Visa card. It is going to be a $95 annual fee card. And it should be fully available to everyone come March 20th, with it, which is just a few days after release of this podcast. It is available right now in select Wells Fargo branches. But keep in mind that Bilt is also a Wells Fargo banking product. So the Bilt card comes from Wells Fargo. They've got a little bit of knowledge and experience after working with Bilt. And so they have very specific programs. If you look here, they have the IAG, so the International Airline Group Airlines, so Iberia, British Airways, Aer Lingus. Eventually, this will include Finnair. And I would assume that because you can transfer to those at some point, you can get those into Qatar as well. They've got Air France Flying Blue, which is going to give you a lot of options. And they also have Avianca Life Miles. So all three major alliances are covered with this. You've got One World, Star Alliance, and SkyTeam all covered through these programs. And then they've got Choice Privileges, which is an under-heralded program. There's a lot of value and a lot of people overlook this program because it does tend to be at the low end of the chain and people want to use their points and say, hey, I want to stay at this luxury Waldorf Astoria. I want to stay at the St. Regis or, you know, some of these other programs, but you can get some really good value, especially traveling overseas with Choice Privileges. I've done two bookings with Choice Privileges, gotten huge value out of the rewards. And like Citi, this is going to transfer 1 to 2. So you're going to be able to get, you know, if you got the signup bonus, which I believe is intended to be 60,000 points for $4,000 worth of spend on this card, you'll get 120,000 choice points, which, you know, you can use quite well for some of their nicer properties. Or if you're staying in, like there are properties in Japan that I want to say are like 8,000 points a night. Well, 8,000 points versus 120,000 points. How many nights could you stay in Japan looking at that? I mean, you're talking about quite a few, several, you know, probably 2 weeks worth of stays in Tokyo off of that, those kind of, you know, even a bonus that's not that exciting, like the 250,000 Amex point bonus. Next, we should remind you that World of Hyatt is changing the award charts. There are properties that are going up, some are coming down, but there are some aspirational ones that if you haven't gotten in, we did talk about this last week, so we won't get into it too much, but there are several properties that will be changing categories. And if you're interested in getting that, We will link this into the show notes. One thing I should let listeners know, since the vast majority of you listen on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, is that our links are not available there. So you can check out the show notes on Award Wallet. And I do share this again in the Award Travel 101 Facebook community. So with that, Hyatt has also added the Rio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. It is eventually going to be a Hyatt Regency. Suspected that it perhaps will be an Andaz, and there's two or three properties. It's going to kind of be like Resorts World Las Vegas with the Conrad, the LXR, and the Hilton property. So there'll be some Hyatt, but the Rio now is crediting and supposed to get World of Hyatt benefits, much like, so if you're a globalist, you should get waived resort fees. Some of the off-peak nights are going between $20 and $25 a night, so you could stay there. Although a recent post from One Mile at a Time suggests that some people may be getting burglarized while staying there. So we don't know what's going on. That's a developing story. We'll kind of see from there. So anything interesting there for you, Angie?
No. I'm not the Hyatt girl, as we all know, and I'm really not a Vegas girl either. So I think I remember reading somebody say that it's not in the best location. So it surprises me that Andaz is being said in the same name as this property right now. I don't know. I've been to Vegas like twice in my life. And so I can't tell you where anything is other than like what's right there on the strip. And even then, I don't have the order of it. Yes. So the next one we have is the Wyndham Rewards is adjusting the award prices for hotel stays and Vacasa bookings. And considering the fact, I'm going to mention this in a minute, that my Wyndham points just posted this could be traumatic for me, although I did not get the card, as we know, to go stay at Wyndham Properties. I got it for the potential cruise matching thing, but you are planning to use these for Vacasa rentals. So how does this affect you?
Yeah, so I broke down the math last week for you, and you were definitely saying it was not something you were that interested in listening to, but that's fine. The math is pretty brutal, to be honest. If you have a property, they just changed it less than 6 months ago or so. You could used to be able to book a one-bedroom Vacasa that was up to $500. So if you had a two-bedroom, it'd be 30,000 points. A one-bedroom, it'd be 15,000 points. A three-bedroom would be 45,000 points. And having this card gives you a 10% bonus. So if you booked a two-bedroom Vacasa in the example I was giving last week, you know, at one point in time, a two-bedroom Vacasa for $1,000 a day could have been booked with 30,000 Wyndham points, and you'd get a 10% bonus on that. So you'd get 10% back, which has made it 27,000 points. That was a very solid return, very high return, probably one of the highest returns on points overall you could get. They devalued that, again, maybe about 6 months ago, and they dropped it from 500 to 350. Now they're dropping it even further from 350 down to 250. And so if your property costs 501 per night, now you're going to have to pay more points. They do allow you to use more points, which they didn't before. There was a cap and they said, if it goes over that, you can't book it at all. But now if it's between, say, 250 and 500, they did bring it up to 500 again, but now you have to use twice as many points. So it'll be 30,000 points per night. How this affects me in the overall is that it effectively, I'm looking at something where the points, I could have said that they used to be worth up to 2.6 cents per point. This drops them down to about 1.7 cents per point. So it's pretty significant drop. And I don't know that it's enough to dissuade me from using it and still keeping on the horse to try to earn these points, but it's certainly impacts the return and how I look at this in the future.
That's unfortunate. Well, so the next one's very exciting. I can't get it, unfortunately, but one of our favorite cards, the City Advantage Platinum Select card, has an elevated signup bonus for $75,000. Both P2 and I got this card last year when they had the elevated signup bonus. And actually, did he? He might not have gotten this card. The key with this card is it has to be 48 months since the last time you received a sign-up bonus with it. And it's really challenging. I mean, you have to keep good notes to know like when you got that sign-up bonus, because Citi's not going to be able to tell you when you actually got it. You can still have the card. So even if you already have one, you're still eligible to get it again. but it's at 48 months that's the key. So I know for sure I am ineligible, but now that I think about it, P2 might be able to get it. And I'm going to go check that as soon as we are done recording this, because this could be our next card, I'm thinking. You know, and the one benefit to AA is that there are two banks that have credit cards. Citi has a number of cards that earn AA miles. This is kind of the entry-level card, you know, free check bags, priority boarding, and you don't have to use your card to get those benefits. Modest annual fee. Barclays has their comparable one, the Arrival Plus. But then Citi also has, you know, the higher ticket cards as well as a business card. So, and since only Bilt and Marriott transfer to AA, this is how you get your AA miles. Are either of you guys eligible to get this?
I am not. I got this card just over a year ago, so there's no way that I'm even close to being eligible for it. But P2 tried to get this card last year, and she was denied despite having a Citi Premier, which she regularly spends on. She did get the Barclays card, so she was able to get the Aviator Red at the same time. But the Citi card she was denied for, so it's worth giving this one another shot and upping her AAdvantage miles. And I've mentioned before that my brother and sister-in-law were getting the Aviator card with the enhanced offer a month or so back. And I might try to see if I can get them to get these cards too, to up their AA balances, to give them some opportunities just in case the Korea flight doesn't come through, that they have an opportunity to book into Tokyo and fly from Tokyo, because there are a lot more options returning home from Tokyo than there are from Seoul. So definitely an offer that people will want to keep up on. And with that, let's check out the final offer. And we're going to end with, again, some good news instead of the bleak news that was in the middle of all this, which some enhanced offers on Hilton cards.
Yep. So they are elevated up to 155,000 points. Again, Amex has several Hilton cards. You've got the free one, you've got the Surpass, you've got the Aspire, you've got a business card. And I do believe these elevated offers are on all the cards, right? I mean, different amounts, obviously.
Yeah, goes up to 100,000 for the fee-free, 155 for the Surpass, and I believe 175 for the Aspire, which is 5,000 off the high for the card. I think the card hit 180,000 the last time around back in October. But it's pretty darn close. And with the Aspire, keep in mind that you get that free night award certificate immediately with the approval of this card. So, you know, it's not only just the 185,000 or 175,000 points you get hitting the minimum spend requirement, but you've got that uncapped free night award certificate, which could be worth upwards of 150,000 points. So, you know, a lot of value in that certificate all by itself, not to mention the $600 worth of airline and property credits that come with the card as well.
Exactly. I mean, be careful. Look at how many total Amex credit cards you have before you apply for this, because Amex does limit you to 5 credit cards, and even the business card counts in that, but evaluate it. And I want to go back and touch on something with the AA card as well. And even this, when we were doing our, you know, card strategy session, we said, always look to what your next trip is and see if there's something specifically that affects you. This is a really good time. If you think you want to take an AA flight, deviate from that Chase 524 strategy and grab this card while it's elevated. Same thing with the Hilton ones. If you've got a for sure Hilton stay that you know is coming up, go ahead and grab this card now. You know, adding one card in the middle of your 524 strategy isn't going to completely derail you. And you don't want to be kicking yourself in 3 months going, really, really need that card now. So just always be evaluating your strategy and what your future trips are to see if you would need these.
So with that strategy in mind, should people get the fee-free card first? Because otherwise, if they get the Aspire first, they're not getting the other two bonuses at all.
Well, so far, as of now, not yet. I'm just going to throw all those out there. Amex hasn't put family language on the Hilton cards yet. So, you know, right now, if you start out with one of the higher tier cards and the other families, you are locked out of getting the lower fee cards. You know, they did do a refresh.
And not the cards, the bonuses, right?
You're right. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Yeah, you can still get the card, but kind of why if you're not going to get the bonus? you know, they did a refresh on the cards kind of at the same time as they were adding all that family language to everything else. And we were all waiting for the family language to hit these and they didn't. So I don't know if that means they're not going to, or they just haven't gotten to it yet. So I don't know. In the words of Clint Eastwood, do you feel lucky? I'm going to leave off the last part of that. So I don't know. Gamble. See which is more important to you. Do you want to try and accumulate more points and go through it? But again, realizing that every one of these would take up one of those Amex credit card slots as you apply for it. And, you know, they'll get testy if you open a card and then you close it and then you try and open another one and you end up in lovely pop-up jail. So it's it's always a balance.
Yes, certainly, for sure. And if you do start with the bottom one and work your way up, one thing to consider is that eventually you could work your way up to having all three Aspire cards because you could product change these upwards. And you could then end up with three free night award certificates every year just for the renewal of the card, along with $600 in credit per card, simply by product changing after you've had the card for a year.
Exactly. And sometimes they offer upgrade offers. I haven't seen any in for a while or heard of any. I know that I got one, you know, to upgrade my Surpass to an Aspire, and I did it. And I think you got one as well. But it's been a couple of years since they've done that. And I have like a really lame upgrade offer on my Delta Blue card to upgrade to a Gold. So they're not always lucrative upgrade offers, but that's a possibility as well.
Well, that wraps up our news and new card offers. And since we are talking about card offers, we're going to jump out of order to what bonuses did we get. I don't have much exciting, but Angie, tell us what you have.
Well, as I said, my Wyndham points just like literally just posted. I got the email this morning that my statement was ready. And as we were getting ready to record this, I logged into my Wyndham account and boom, there they are. So I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet because that wasn't the purpose of getting the card, but I got this little chunk of points over here now. My Capital One VentureX business card, those points posted within probably 2 days, maybe even less of making the, having the final charge clear. Statement isn't even closed on that account yet. So that was kind of interesting because most other banks, you have to wait for the statement to close before your bonus posts. Still do not have my Alaska points, but my statement doesn't close until March 14th. So I'm hoping that I will see that post quite quickly. Also still waiting on that 20,000 bonus, extra bonusing for doing both the business checking account and a business platinum card. But we are kind of on hold now with the whole house situation for at least the next month. But maybe P2 is going to be getting an AA card, maybe. So easily distracted by bright, shiny objects. But, you know, I'm in the closing situation now. So I'm still waiting. Amex has been so slow this year with their credits, the post, you know, like your monthly credits. I still don't have my $10 wireless credit on that business platinum card. And the annual fee is going to be paid tomorrow. That's when my payment cycle is. So I'll have a, you know, credit balance with them again. And that's okay because they're pretty quick to send checks. So I'm hoping that that posts within the next week and then I can close that. I'm also considering, I got a Hilton business card last year when there was an elevated offer on that and the annual fee just posted. And I don't know that I need to keep it. It's, I can spend on that to get another free night certificate. And that is certainly a consideration for these house expenses that I could do that. Just go ahead and put stuff on that to maybe charge enough to get another free night certificate. But otherwise, I don't see any value in the card long term. And it is taking up one of my five slots because now I'm maxed on Amex at the moment. So considering that, I'd be curious to hear what our listeners think on that, whether I should keep it or not.
Yes, I'm in a similar position as you are with this whole thing. As my card that I'm considering, and I have to make the decision the day by the day this airs. So by March 15th, I need to decide whether I'm going to keep or close my Amex Everyday Preferred. I have not used the card in years. It's probably been at least two and a half years since the last time I've used this card intentionally. I think one or two times something went on it. Yeah, that wasn't supposed to, but it ended up on it anyways. And it is taking up a slot. One of my holdups behind it is that it is my second oldest card going back quite a few years, dating myself almost 20 years back. But with that in mind,
got it in high school, right?
No, it was after college, but it's been a while since I've had.
So he was throwing you a bone there.
So again, I kept my Discover card, which is my oldest card, active, and it is now fine to go. But, you know, this Everyday Preferred, again, I haven't used it. It's taking up a slot I could get another Amex bonus for. So I have to decide if there's anything interesting there to do. So reach out to us. Let us know. Should we keep our cards or should we close them? My other thing that I shared, and I'll link here, won't talk too much about it, but if you want to check out my post of extreme stacking, I have is it septuple? Is that the correct way? 7 different stacks.
Oh gosh.
That I did to buy a PlayStation 5 for $81.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And if you look at it in terms of not only the other rewards, if I actually cashed out the Rakuten points as well as took into account the future rewards that I will have received from Dell, this is a negative dollar purchase. So it would be a $9 negative purchase because it would have earned $60 cash back from Rakuten and $30 in future value from Dell. So you could look at it in some sense, if you wanted to, as such, that it's a negative $9 purchase. But of course, I'm not going to take $60 in Rakuten. I'm letting those convert to 6,000 Amex membership rewards. And you can look at all the different ways that this was able to be accomplished. Of course, I do have 2 Amex Business Platinums still. And so I use those Dell credits to be able to use that. But I've also used one of our partners. You can check out cardpointers.com/AT101. They have a subscription that can save you hundreds to thousands of dollars. It's probably saved me almost $1,000 since I first got it 6 to 9 months ago or so. And CardPointers allows you to stack Amex offers. Typically, you can only use one Amex offer at a time, but because of the way that Amex offers are added through CardPointers, and if you could do this manually, if you could actually do it fast enough where you could sync every single Amex offer to load to all of your cards at the exact same time, you could do this. Unfortunately, none of us are that fast. CardPointers does it automatically and can save you tons of money. Check out our link at cardpointers.com/AT101 to save 30%.
So the next part, talking about the trips, and I have absolutely nothing to add to this section. So Joe, tell us, what do you have going on?
Well, I should be returned from Australia just in a few days after this launches, but I can't decide which flight I should take. I was talking about flying home on Delta One, and I booked that last April, almost as soon as the schedule opened. I used a little trick to fly back into the United States for 95,000 sky miles. That trick is no longer available and it is dead. So you could position yourself through Los Angeles by flying technically into Mexico City, and the price would drop and I would have jumped off in Los Angeles and continued on. The problem is that I'd have to connect somewhere and the connection's pretty tight. So I have alerts set on Seats.aero for when awards were to open, and I've received 2 notices that both United and American also opened awards coming home the same day. And so I now have American, United, and Delta all booked coming home from Australia in business class within about 2 hours of each other. So,
oh gosh,
there's different routings all the way. The best one was on American Airlines, which goes Sydney to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Dallas, and Dallas to Cleveland, all for 65,000 miles and about $60 to $80. I can't remember the exact cash, but whatever it is, it's ridiculously low. And every single flight was in business or domestic first. So that was the best deal overall. The fastest one is on United because it's just a one stop through Houston, Polaris from Sydney to Houston, and then I'm stuck in economy the way home. And the slowest one is the Delta one where I get off, but I'd have to connect to another airline. And the risk of misconnecting if something goes wrong is also a concern. So all of these are things that I will make my decision probably by the time I get over to Australia, which one I'm actually going to keep. But I'm curious what members think and listeners think. Should I keep American? Should I keep Delta one or should I go Polaris?
How much is the United flight?
The United flight was 100,000 miles. The Delta one was
95.
But there's a 15,000 mile positioning flight as well. So you're looking at 110 to do Delta one, 100 with United Polaris, or 65,000 all the way through on one PNR with AA.
You know, I would probably still do the United one, even paying more, because it's kind of easy for you to earn Ultimate Rewards, and it's harder to earn American. And that one stop after that long of a flight, that's pretty appealing. And you've still got enough status that you can get upgraded to at least.
I have basic silver status, so we'll see. I mean, it's possible, but not likely.
Yeah, but got a one stop. I probably would do that just to. But then again, I'm not flying to Australia for 2 days. So
there you go. Real quick, I canceled a stay at the Waldorf Astoria in Rome in exchange for a Choice Comfort Hotel in Rome. And why would I do that? Well, first of all, it's more centralized to everything. So, you know, it's for my trip to Europe with my dad, and a lot more walking distance. You can go to the Colosseum, whereas the Waldorf is kind of outside the city a little bit, and it's going to require a car to get to downtown and central everything. So this Comfort Hotel, and I don't know if it's Boulevard or how to pronounce it, but you know, for two nights there, I think it's a little bit better as far as being centralized. And I bought Choice points to do that. So it was over $1,000 $1,050 for two nights. And I could have transferred my Citi Thank You points, but I was able to buy Choice points for $360 for the two nights. And I thought I can use my Citi Thank You points for something better. So I bought the points instead.
That was smart.
Finally, I am going to the Virgin Islands for spring break. So shortly after I get home from the trip to Australia, I'm taking off for the Virgin Islands for spring break with my family. And I have to decide which flight I'm actually taking home, because I've now found a second flight, one into Charlotte. I mentioned going into Atlanta maybe a time or two back. And I don't know which city I'm flying into yet, but I have hotels in both cities and we'll figure it out on the return. But that did allow me to cancel my backup spring break trip, which was to Bonita Springs in Fort Myers at the Coconut Point, where we've stayed multiple times before. One of the awesome things about canceling this trip was that it freed up my Breeze points to return from our summer trip out to Tampa and seeing you in the area. So if you're around in the summer, I can come out and was able to use Breeze points to fly in there. They don't call it first class anymore. I can't remember what they changed the name to, something silly, just to signify that it's not, they don't serve food with it. So, but whatever their first class product is, we were able to use that with our Breeze point. So no cost there. And just in case that flight gets canceled, because Breeze is notorious for cancellation, I have a Southwest flight coming home 3 hours later.
Perfect. Well, and as we saw there at the top of this, you know, little segment, I have no trips planned, so I probably will be around when you guys are here.
That wraps up our trip updates. Let's hop over into finding award space. And this is step 7 of our 8 steps to award travel. And you can find our pinned post at the top of the group. So you can look into that. And all of the steps you need to do award travel better is there. It was a great post that Allison Caraway had put together, going very detailed into everything you need to do. We've covered all of the first 6 steps. So let's hop into step 7. And finding award space.
So I see what you've got put together here. My very first step every time that I'm starting to look for award space is I go to Google Flights, because I want to see who flies the route that I'm looking for. What airlines do I need to be checking? What's the optimal itinerary that I would want to have based on a cash booking? What's the cash price? Maybe there's like a super cheap fare and I don't have to use points for it or something like that. And then from there, I go to all of the search tools and I'll go to point.me. I go to seats.arrow, point.yeah. I don't have Expert Flyer anymore. I'll use Roam Travel. Both Roam Travel and seats.arrow have really, and I've got the paid version of both of those. I'm going to, you know, make that just clear that this isn't necessarily available on the free version. where you can do kind of some exploring. So like seats.aero, you can put in East Coast of the United States to Europe and you get everything. So if you know you're going to have to position anyway, it tells you, we found this a day ago. We just found this right now. So you can like go immediately and be like, oh, look, there's a flight from Dulles to Frankfurt. Let me go see if I can replicate that and what airline it has it. The negative to seats.aero is they don't do multi-stop searching. It's got to be kind of a nonstop thing, which is why that kind of explore feature is handy. And Rome Travel does the same thing. They just don't search as many carriers, I think. And then once I, you know, find something that's good or a good itinerary, that's when I'll go to point.me. As we've discussed in the past, you know, they cover everybody, but you can only search one origination, one destination, one date at a time. So it can be a little slow and cumbersome, but if I've kind of narrowed it down, that's helpful. And then you actually go to the airline website and log in and see if you can truly find what they have found for you. These are tools. They are not the be all and end all of everything. And there is no substitute for knowing how to do the searching on the airline websites yourself, because there are errors. They will find stuff that you cannot replicate no matter what. That's happened to me. Or I will go to a website thinking that, oh, look, they found that one. It's like, well, but they didn't find that one or that one that's over there as well. So you got to be able to do it all. And then there's the whole, okay, let's book it at that point. What's your usual path?
Yeah. So I think this is one of the things we should specify to listeners who are newer to the space, that it is important to sign up for these loyalty programs and test them out. The Japanese carriers are horrific trying to find these things. Like if you were to use JAL or ANA, trying to find award space on their website is already a challenge, because the way their websites are designed are very different than what we're accustomed to with the domestic US carriers like American or United. But the trick is to learn those things so that when these deals do pop up or you do happen to locate them, that you're able to move quickly and get that booked before somebody else grabs that space. Because all these aspirational, you know, flights that you're trying to get on, if it's business and first especially, you need to be able to jump on that quick. So whether it's airline space, whether it's hotel space, when these awards become available, and especially for those really aspirational destinations or airline products, you got to be able to move quick. And being able to understand the process in which you need to search these, make sure you have these programs set up. My buddy Todd was recently doing this, and he was starting to get set up. And I have next week's episode where we'll get into more of what we actually did to find seats for him. So we'll be talking more in episode 60, since we didn't have time to record while I'm in Australia. So that'll be coming up as well, and kind of go through that. But definitely make sure you understand that and have your flexible points. And that's why we also hit so much on having flexible points over fixed or airline or hotel points, because once you have those, it's very hard to move those elsewhere. So my process is similar to some respects to yours, in that I do use Google Flights, but it's not my first search anymore. Typically, my first search is going to be either seats.aero or point.me, and it depends on the type of search I'm doing. And even before I do that, though, probably the tool that I use the most in this is to say, where is it that I'm trying to go? So I'm not so much fixed on, hey, I'm just a follow the deal person, and I'm going to use whatever, you know, anybody puts out there in the universe, whether it's the blogs, whether it's Thrifty Traveler Premium, any award alert service. I'm actually probably looking at a specific destination. So what I want to know is what are some of the best ways to do that? And the best way to know that is to use Flight Connections. And so that's probably my go-to tool, is to look at Flight Connections and see what airlines fly there and how do I utilize those within the alliances. We'll get to this, you know, in some of the other tools, but I use our Award Travel 101 transfer partner matrix chart that Mike keeps updated, and I think he's on his like 37th revision now or something like that of the chart, with updated partners and things like that, so that I know what airlines and programs I can use within that. And then depending on the type of search I'm looking at, is it more flexible? If it's more flexible, I'll use seats.aero to say, okay, what seats.aero pulling up in a general basis around that time. We often talk about flexibility and being flexible within having, you know, so many days. And people often think that, hey, well, I have a very specified time that I can be gone, so I'm not flexible. You can be flexible in your mind. You don't necessarily have to be 100% flexible in your date. But if you have maybe a day or two wiggle room, you can say, well, I know based on my CSTOT Aero searches that XYZ airline is opening their awards space up 2 weeks in advance. And so I know that there's a high probability that within 2 weeks of that, maybe I have my flight booked and I have something that I'm willing to go on the day that I have to, but maybe I can leave a day earlier. And if, you know, that desirable award space opens up, now you're prepared to book it because first of all, you've practiced your search. You know what airline's going and you're watching the award space. So if you're watching the award space now, you know, it's just a matter of making sure you have the points there or you can get them there quickly and that they're not stuck there if it doesn't transfer immediately. So there are some things that you have to kind of know as you're going through this. And these are all great questions for the Award Travel 101 Facebook community. There's over 106,000 people willing to answer your questions, including the moderator and admin team here. But then after you use point.me and seats.aero, I do still have an expert flyer subscription. Obviously, we talked many months ago about how it was nerfed and we lost Star Alliance, everything. Most of the Middle East three, Etihad, Emirates, and Qatar are no longer there. So, or if they are there, they're barely there. But it is still useful for finding things specifically with American Airlines. You can find upgrades and what seats are upgradable. There are a lot of tools within that. And for some of the people who do more advanced booking, there are still useful things within Expert Flyer. So it's something I do use. I really don't use any of the other tools. I don't use Roam.travel. I don't use Points. Yeah, I don't use any of those newer ones because I just haven't found that they're good enough. But like you've said, there, no matter what you do, again, these tools are only so much of the thing. I find that Iberia is typically left off of the award searches. Sometimes they pop up and sometimes they don't. And there are some times where you might find that Iberia does something that AA used to be known for, which is, I can't think of the term right now, but basically it's where the main award seat doesn't exist unless there's the partner or another lesser travel to destination. So for example, I'm flying to Europe with my dad this summer and flights from Washington, D.C. to Madrid in business class didn't exist. But when I tacked on a flight over to Venice, which is where we wanted to end up, then the business class seats became available. So,
oh, interesting.
That's something to know that that will pop up sometimes. So Iberia specifically is one that I often look at that is overlooked and seems to be often overlooked by the search award tools. Although I know point.me does cover it here and there. I have seen things pop up, but it doesn't always. And then of course, you know, you use our tools like our partners over at Thrifty Traveler Premium. You never know when they find a big bunch of award alerts and it happens to fall within your dates or around the dates you can travel. What are some of the other tools that are out there that are maybe lesser used or maybe not so much value to members anymore, but are still possible?
Well, so Award Hacker was a big one when we first started in this hobby that people would use because it would show you theoretically what the best award flight was that you could find. So it kind of gave you a benchmark so that you would know, because, you know, the question we get all the time is this a good redemption? Is this a good redemption? And of course, the answer is one, it depends. And number two, it's different for everybody. You know, yeah, people have different, you know, thresholds for what they're willing to redeem their points for. But, you know, for me, it's one of those, are you able to travel more? Are you able to travel better? Are you saving money? You know, is it a reasonable redemption? You're not going to spend 500,000 points on what would be a $3,000 business class ticket to Europe. You're just not, hopefully. Yeah. But it kind of gave you an idea. The problem is, as all these airlines have moved to dynamic pricing, it's really not relevant anymore, but it still exists. And people will still come in the group and say, oh, go check Award Hacker. I'm like, yeah, but that's not really going to help you anymore because it's not so much going to give you a legitimate thing to look at because it's just not relevant. I never really used Award Logic or Award Nexus, so I can't even speak to what they have. And I think SeatSpy, that was limited. That was something out of the UK, right? So yeah. It was really, really heavily focused on British Airways. you know, and I know for my airport, anything I search on British Airways, they want to stick me on that nonstop out into Gatwick with the lovely taxes and fees. So that wasn't a relevant tool for me. And that's another thing to pay attention to. What works for me doesn't necessarily work for Joe. What works for Joe doesn't necessarily work for Allison. You got to find kind of what works for you and where you live, where you want to go, what your points you have, and things like that. It's, you know, we're here giving you guidelines. These are not absolutely set in stone things that you must do them this way. Do you use any of those other tools?
I don't use any of those. I had a SeatSpy subscription at one point, but I let that lapse. That's something that I think they've added a few things. And one of the nice things about SeatSpy was that they could show you a whole year's worth of availability at once on the airlines they do track. So, and I believe that United was one. And that was a way that a lot of people were finding. And I think that's what shut down some of the Virgin Atlantic deals with ANA, because if it was bookable with United, some of the NH or what the was ANA award space was showing up through the United search on SeatSpy, and people could see like the whole calendar at once. I don't know if that has been changed or not, but that was a little trick that was out there. Another thing you mentioned about the fees on BA, you know, a lot of people don't know is that, you know, you find out that the BA flight is there. You may be able to book it with a few more extra Asia miles, which is the partner program for Cathay Pacific. But even though it's more miles, instead of paying $700 or $800 in taxes, you may find it still not a small chunk, but with Cathay Pacific, it might be more like $300 to $350 instead of, you know, $750 to $800. So you can use a few more miles, use quite a few less dollars. And, you know, you may be able to book that BA flight like that. CoursePoint.me will usually show you that, but it's not always right with the taxes and fees either.
And then the hotel ones, you've got Open Hotel Alert and Aways. And I'm going to say, I don't really use them because it's that whole status thing. I know a lot of people use them, especially if they are Hyatt Globalists and they want a specific kind of room type to open up so that they can, you know, whatever, do a suite upgrade award or whatever it is. I guess I ought to really learn it for those Hilton Free Night certificates, because there does have to be a standard room available to be able to use those. There's no, no point limit on what that standard room could be, but it does have to be considered a standard room. But it's kind of one of those, you know, there's enough stuff I have to stick in my brain right now. I don't have room to add these other ones that I don't necessarily need just yet.
Yeah, typically I'm only using Open Hotel Alert. I know Waze and Max My Point both have hotel searches and they have premium. I think we have, to be transparent, I believe we have a free subscription to a Waze that we've been trialing, and the team hasn't used it a whole ton. I haven't found it to help me, but maybe I'm just not using it properly either. So Open Hotel Alert, you do have to know the room category you're searching for, because not all hotel rooms are open to points. So you have to know what's considered a standard room. But if you know what the standard room is, I found that that tool typically is pretty quick relative to Max My Point when I was doing it for free. I don't know if a Waze would be faster or not. We haven't trialed the premium site enough to be able to answer that question. But it's something that, you know, I do set alerts with that Open Hotel Alert. I find out what the standard room type is. And typically, I'm only doing this with the World of Hyatt, and I can ask my concierge which one's the right room type so that I can set the correct alert when it's confusing.
I think Allison did that for one of our hotels in Bali, and she was able to, it opened up and we were able to get a really nice room. I think it was at the Andaz that, you know, it wasn't available initially. And I think we both had like a cash booking to hold it. And then the room opened up that she wanted, and it was a great room. So I know for sure she's had success with it. You touched on something a minute ago about signing up for all the loyalty programs that your points will transfer to. And you can look at Mike's transfer partner matrix to find out what those are. I also recommend that people go ahead and link their membership rewards account, their ultimate rewards account, to those loyalty programs ahead of time. Don't do any test, you know, transfers, because you don't want your points stranded over there. But it's one of those, it's one less step you have to do when you find that award space if you've already got things linked. The downside to that is sometimes programs will give you a bonus for linking or setting up a new account, and you might forego that if you go ahead and create these accounts proactively. But I do think the benefits outweigh those few points that you might get from waiting. And some programs, they require your account to have been open for a while to be able to accept transfers or to be able to, I guess, connect to, you know, like I think it's something with Iberia, like you can't move your Avios from BA over to Iberia unless your account's been open for a while. But I think you can transfer directly into Iberia is the deal. But it's one of those, just go ahead and do it. People get nervous about security. I don't think it's an issue. I've never been burned by it at all. And I don't know anybody who has been burned that way. But, you know, there's a lot of security on these banks with stuff like this. But I would definitely recommend, you know, log into the transfer, you know, log into the rewards section and look at who the transfer partners are and make certain you have those accounts and link them together.
Perfect. I'm going to kind of shortcut to our tip of the week because we are running out of time for this week's episode. And I'm going to tease this because I'm going to post it in the Award Travel 201 community first. And I will probably get back to you in a few weeks on the tip of the week, but it's going to be for choice privileges and something that I've learned there and how to snag that at the 100-day mark or maybe even beyond, which is not supposed to be possible. Check us out in Award Travel 201 if you want to do that. And Angie, where can everyone find us any other time?
They can find us in the free 106,000 plus member Award Travel 101 community on Facebook.
And for a deeper dive into more intermediate and advanced strategies and to get more value from the rewards of your current portfolio of cards, check out our Award Travel 201 community, which is $89.99 annually, and it's the place to find more outsized value.
Or if you would like to book time with our team for a one-on-one strategy session, check out Award Travel 1-on-1.
You can also email us at contactawardtravel@gmail.com with any questions or concerns.
And our next meetup is located in San Antonio, Texas, if learning in person is more your style, or just to make friends and meet everybody else who does this crazy hobby. It's going to be April 26th through the 28th of 2024, and we have opened up a few more tickets for members. To learn more about it, visit Taco About a Fiesta on Eventbrite.
And to support the Award Travel 101 community and podcast, for your next rewards card, check out our links in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Bye.